Yoga Chat with the Accidental Yogist, and I'm hoping that I have my mic volume turned up properly here. It's Wednesday, May 18th, and I'm here with Daniel Overberger, from also known as Runyon Canyon Yoga, also known as Black Market Yoga, also known as Dharma Gypsies, also known as I don't know what else he is, also known as Rockstar Guitar Man from a previous life. Anyway, we are here. It's killradio.org. If you're listening to this, welcome. You can call in, by the way. I keep forgetting to give the number. It's 213-252-0998. Call in whenever. If you have any questions, if you want to talk to anybody who's here. Felicia Tomasco from LA Yoga Magazine is on her way, so she'll be hanging out here, too. She had such a good time last week that she wants to do it again. Anyway, to get going, what you heard, I'm going to borrow that CD for you for a second, is Punuwasu. He's a new person here on the LA Kirtan scene. He actually, the reason why I was really interested in him is because he lived in the Philippines, where I'm from, for 17 years, made his way to Bali, and now he's here in LA. And he now does Kirtan every Sunday at Dancing Shiva Yoga and Ayurveda on Beverly, near the Beverly Center. So anyway, that cut was called Durge, off his album Bhakti Child. I was really impressed with him. I just met him last night at a kirtan, and he gave me a CD, and I thought it was wonderful, so I thought I'd start the show with his music. Anyway, on to today's topic. We are going to talk about gratitude. Part of the reason why I thought this would be a good topic is because I'm just thankful that I got the break to do this. I don't know if I mentioned it last week. Out of the blue, I got an email from Nick Richard, a DJ here at Kill Radio, asking me if I wanted to do a yoga chat show, only because there wasn't one here on Kill Radio, and they wanted to mix up the variety a bit. So after thinking it over, I said, sure, why not? So that's the reason why I'm here, and for that, I'm thankful, because I can talk about yoga, not that I want to talk about myself, but I want to help people who are in the yoga community here in L.A. Promote what it is that they do, because there are just so many people here in L.A. who are trying to get noticed, get recognized, and so this is a good forum for them. Speaking of getting recognized, I'm going to hand the mic over to Daniel, and he can talk about what it is that he does and what he's grateful for. Daniel.
Hi, Joni. Thank you for having me. I think you've been such a big part. Can you hear me over there?
I don't know. I'm not hearing you, but I'm turn up all the mics now.
Hello.
Welcome. There you go.
I was actually just reading that CD, and he said, sing like nobody's listening. So I'm going to talk into this red microphone.
Exactly.
Like nobody's listening.
Because we can actually find out how many people are listening.
It's a lot easier to get away with if you don't think a bunch of people are listening. And
we have a whopping 4 people listening, so you can talk, say anything you want.
They should introduce themselves to us.
Oh, really? Yeah, if you're listening, call in so we know you're there.
But Joni is, I mean, I was going to swing it all the way around to my gratitude for what Joni has done for the yoga community, and really with like no, very selfless and with absolutely no agenda, has really brought so much attention to all the different teachers. Even before I knew that was even important, like when I met Joni, like I think in 2007 maybe, she took my class.
It was a Runyon class, wasn't it?
Yeah. And she walks up and says, "Hi, I'm Joni Young." And I said, "Hi."
Yeah, like, who are you?
I didn't have a computer in my apartment, and I didn't like really. I would go on the internet like once a week and like check emails and maybe. And I didn't really even understand like, you know, wanting to like Googling yourself. I thought, who's? I don't know what that is. And then someone eventually came up to me and said, you know, this lady, Joni Young, she wrote about you on her blog. You know, that's a really cool thing. And I said, really? So I went to the internet cafe, and I looked up Joni Young. There it is. She wrote about me.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, you know, there are all these people who do things. Now, the thing about Running Canyon Yoga, it's not a studio. It's yoga in a park outdoors by donation, which is a wonderful thing. And the thing is, not many people know about it. I think I found out about it because I heard about it through somebody. And then I think, was it a TV show or somebody talked about it? And I decided, well, I must go find out what it's all about. But I think the nice thing is when you have these yoga outside of a studio that's affordable, I think we need to let more people know about it. And it just gets people into the yoga. And so they can do it, and they can proceed to, I mean, if they really enjoy it, they might end up in a studio, or they might end up with a home practice, or they might even be interested enough to take a teacher training and do it themselves. But I'm finding more and more yoga all over L.A. outside of the studio environment, especially in the summertime. There's a lot of beach yoga, hiking yoga, park yoga. It's all over the place. And the thing is, how are you going to find out about it, right? So what I'm trying to do is just make it my mission in life to make it known to people. And I'm hoping that, you know, through this station too, if you call in and just tell us what it is that you do and where you teach, that'd be great too. Then you're sharing the information with everybody else. So let's see. So what else are you grateful for? You know, you talk about how you got started in yoga. I mean, you didn't start out as a yoga person, right?
No, I came to L.A. to play rock and roll a long time ago. And my life went through like a bunch of kind of heavy changes. And I was with these people, and for a while they were like really badgering me, like, you're a yoga teacher, you need to stop denying it, and you need to, you know, just go and do it. And I really liked being a student. I think it's really important to be a student even as a teacher, but I didn't want to do it at first, and I was kind of like, no, I don't think so. And eventually I broke down. I said, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I had been actually going to Runyon, which is like Yogi Steve started it more than 10 years ago. We've been 10 years in that park doing yoga. Yoga just like really bringing it to the people, really down to the street. And I had been studying there like almost since the beginning. And I finally said, okay, I'm going to be a teacher. And so I went to class, and Kamala was teaching that day. And I went up to her after class. I said, I just want to tell you, I finally, this is 2005. I finally decided to be a teacher. In 2005, there wasn't like teachers like there are now, and there were not like yoga teacher trainings, and it wasn't like it is now. And so she said, you're going to become a teacher. That's great. Can you teach for me tomorrow?
Wow. No training. Just teach it based on what you'd been doing in class.
Yes. Yeah. So Kamala like brought me in right straight away because we couldn't even get subs at that point in 2005. It was a small community. I went to India in about several months later, would have been 2006 when I came back. Yogi Steve said, I want you to take over the Fridays at 10:30. I've been teaching them for 6 years now. So both of those people really like embraced me and changed the course of my life. It's like stuff you almost like start to get tears in your eyes about. It was like really an intense, you don't even know it at the time, what a magical path, and the people that you meet along the way. And then that's why I'm here. Cause if I wasn't out in that park teaching that class, someone wouldn't have come up to me and said, hello, I'm Joni Young.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, if it weren't you, I probably would have been I would have had Yogi Steve right here right now.
Yeah, he's probably punching a wall right now.
But, I did meet him. I did meet him at the first Ciclovia last year in October. He decided to teach a yoga class right on the grass in front of City Hall.
Right.
And so I finally met him after hearing about him. So I should hook up with him and maybe get him here too. You have this thing called black market yoga. What exactly is that?
In 2007, Runyon initially was only at 10:30, and I kept thinking, what about people like that have jobs? I know a lot of people in LA, it's like our whole thing, we don't want to have a job, which is great. I'm right there with you. But if you have a job, you can't go at 10:30 for the most part, unless you call in sick or something. So I had started evening classes at 6. It would only run in the summer because there's limited light and there's limited warmth. And then at the end, it would stop, and I was like, what am I going to – these people want to keep practicing, you know, and I want to keep teaching. And I started – you know, I tried to get in some studios, and even back in 2006, it was, you know, getting crowded, mm-hmm. and, you know. So I started finding alternative venues. Joni came to one of my classes. I was in an art gallery, a fetish art gallery. It was like completely.
Oh, that's right. That's where I burned my Yogi Toes towel.
Right. That's why we almost burned the place down twice in one night.
That's because it was dark. They turned down the lights and they had the votive candles all over the place. And I was absent-minded and I had dropped the towel that I was holding and it fell right on the votive. And I didn't notice at the time until I thought, that's an odd smell. What is that? And I said, oh, my God, it's my towel. So picked it up, put out the fire. It was fine. You know, no smoke detectors went off and no sprinklers went off. It was good. But the funny thing about it is that Daniel had dropped his backpack on another votive on the same night. And in it, he had a copy of his book, Leaving Stress Behind. And so I actually have it here with the burn marks and everything.
I officially no longer do candlelight yoga, by the way. Two fires
in
one
dangerous.
Night.
And ever since then, I've learned if you're going to a candlelight yoga class, stay as far away as possible.
Bring a fire extinguisher.
From the votives, yeah. And try not to dump your $80 Yogi Toes towel on it. I mean, that was sad. I couldn't throw it away. It had a big hole in it. And honestly, I still have it. I haven't used it, but I just don't have the heart to throw it away. But anyway, so he also has this book called Leaving Stress Behind, and it's basically a practice. It's a story about his yoga practice, and he has an illustrated practice here. So if you actually get the book, you can do your home practice, which is a really cool thing. And he has pointers on how to do it. And
that's the CD, too, so you can put my voice on.
Yeah, you can, so you can listen to him. If you miss him and can't get to Runyon, you can do this. So I think you can go to, leavingstressbehind.org, is
com.
It? .com.
Yeah.
.com. So anyway, going back to Dharma Gypsies, since we're short on time here, I asked Daniel what his favorite cut was from that album. His first album, now, the name is interesting. Hold on a second. Let me go grab it.
My first yoga album.
The first yoga album, yes. He's, like I said, he is a rock star guitar man, and we'll have to play his music one day, the non-yoga music.
It won't fit.
But the name of the album, this one on the title just says Dharma Gypsies Volume 1. But the title is, what is it? You remember the whole title?
Music for Yoga, Meditation, and General House Cleaning.
And General House Cleaning, and I thought that was really interesting. And not that I've cleaned my house yet while listening to it, but it is good music to listen to. So anyway, I asked him, which one is your favorite cut? And so I am going to play that right now. It's Govinda, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
You're back on Yoga Chat with the Accidental Yogist, a.k.a. Joni, and Daniel Overberger. What would you rather be known as, the Running Canyon guy or the Dharma Gypsy guy or the Leaving Stress Behind guy?
Daniel's fine.
Daniel's fine. Anyway, we have on the phone, speaking of gratitude, we have Todd Jensen, whose latest book is called On Gratitude. And hold on, let me turn up the phone.
And, hey, Todd, are you there?
Yeah, Joni, hey.
Okay, so, why don't you talk about your book? This was published late last year, was it?
Yeah, it came out on World Gratitude Day last September 21st, 2010.
Okay, and tell me more about it. What is it? What made you, what drove you to do it? How did you end up talking to all these celebrities?
Right. Well, the book's got a title that's quite a mouthful. It's called On Gratitude, Sheryl Crow, Jeff Bridges, Alicia Keys, Daryl Hall, Ray Bradbury, Anna Kendrick, Phoebe King, Elmore Leonard, Deepak Chopra, and 42 more celebrities share what they're most thankful for. And for me, the book, I've been working as an entertainment journalist for 20 years, but I was going through a number of things about 5 years ago that kind of turned my ears onto hearing the world differently. My eyes started seeing things differently. And a lot of the things that were happening in my life, one of them was I found a yoga practice. I was hearing stories of gratitude. I was hearing those types of stories, those types of motifs coming up in all of my conversations and in all of the work I was doing. And so I thought, you know what, let's find out, what are some of these pop culture icons? What are they most grateful for? And the stories are surprising and uplifting and really cool.
So, for example, let's find somebody in the book that you think had a really interesting story. Let's give an example.
Sure. I think one of the stories that was really interesting to me was from Deepak Chopra, whom we all know and many of us love as this spiritual leader, this great guru. And he didn't tell me all those stories about how amazing it is to sit on a mountaintop and look out at all the heathens of the world from this elevated spiritual place. The stories he told me were about being a scared young man, drinking too much, smoking too much in college.
The funny thing is, doesn't it start like that for almost everybody? It's interesting. I was recently watching, this was last year, watching a screening of The Titans of Yoga, and they had some people who were featured in the movie talking about their lives and how they found yoga, and they all seemed to start that way. They were going down the wrong path, and somewhere along the line they realized, what am I doing with what's going on here? And somebody introduces them to a yoga class or to meditation practice or something, and all of a sudden they turn their lives around. So it's interesting.
Absolutely.
How, you know, yoga seems to want to do that to people, or just something in life just hits them on the head and say, hey, you know, you're not going to be long for this world if you keep going the way you're going.
Absolutely. My wife and I have a yoga studio in Toluca Lake. And I often talk with the teachers and the students who come in and out of the studio and ask them, how did you come here? And unanimously, I can say, nobody comes to yoga because their life is perfect. They fall off a cliff and land on a yoga mat. And so many of the stories that were told to me in my book are from people like Sheryl Crow and Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates. These are people whose lives were stopped cold. And those moments of diagnosis, of loss, of great sadness are almost always the moments that they're most grateful for, because they're the moments that kind of stop the mind and say, okay, now what? And that question of now what is a really important one in our lives.
It's true. I mean, I feel maybe I should be grateful that I didn't find myself in a deep dark rut before I got into yoga. My whole thing was that I got into a ski accident and I had to do rehab.
Wow.
Other than that, my life was sailing along fairly well. So like I said, I'm glad I didn't end up that. I mean, some people are drug addled. Some people are suicidal. I mean, it's interesting, you know, like I said, talking about the Titans of Yoga, they were actually some people that you would never think. You'd think that they lived the most perfect lives, and they were actually on the brink of suicide. And what? I think it was yoga that saved them from falling off that cliff. So let's see. Let's see. Let's find somebody else that has an interesting story. Was there anybody who got, you know, who was grateful for something that you wouldn't think anybody'd be grateful for?
There are a lot of kind of funny and surprising stories in the book. I could just rattle off a couple for you. The great NBA basketball player Yao Ming is really grateful for the video game World of Warcraft because he can log in and play the game and no one knows who he is. Whereas in the real world, at 7'5", it's kind of hard to miss Yao Ming.
But they don't know it's him then. They're playing with him and they don't know.
Exactly.
Wow.
The actress Kristen Bell from Veronica Mars and Forgetting Sarah Marshall, she told me an amazing story about being in Brazil a couple of years ago. She was on a volunteer mission and she was asked to volunteer in some of the hospitals in Brazil. And she was astonished at how destitute the area was and how decrepit this hospital was. And on one of the days she was serving there, two women came in ready to deliver their babies. And so Kristen Bell ended up stepping in to become an 11th-hour obstetrician.
Are you kidding me, really?
No joke.
Hopefully they were nice, normal deliveries, didn't require a C-section or anything like that.
Scalpel, please.
I know, can you imagine? What would you do?
One of my favorite stories in the book comes from the author, Ray Bradbury, who was on a train ride 25 years ago, and this beautiful woman came up to him and said, "Mr. Bradbury." "Yes." Says, "I love you." And he says, "Who are you?" And she said, "My name is Bo Derek."
Wow.
And she asked if she could ride the train. They were going cross country. So they spent 2 days riding the train cross country together. And it was one of the most unforgettable experiences of Ray Bradbury's life. He recently turned 80 years old, and she came to his birthday party. And Ray, I still love you.
I mean, I can't believe, though, that he didn't recognize Bo Derek. I mean, was this the day of, 10?
Yeah, I think it was kind of at the peak. So it is kind of hard to imagine that somebody, I mean, I was young at the time, but I knew who Bo Derek was.
Yeah, everybody knew what she looked like then, I remember.
And again, you know, Ray Bradbury's got his head in the stars, so.
Well, he obviously doesn't watch movies.
Exactly.
So anyway, tell us about, you know, you're going around still promoting the book or trying to get involved in what is it that you're doing? Are you going to kids now?
Yeah, I've got a number of things going on. I've been speaking a lot at public libraries because when I was a really young kid, 10, 11 years old, I had a paper route. And the last stop on my paper route was the public library in my hometown of Burbank. And I would take the paper into the librarian and I would spend 2 hours every day reading books. And it's one of the reasons I think I can put together a sentence on paper these days, because I read so much in those libraries. So it's really a privilege now to be able to go out and speak to audiences of public libraries and talk to them about gratitude and share some of these stories with them. I got some really exciting news just recently. My hometown of Burbank is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year, and they're doing a number of centennial festivities and special events. And they were also looking for a book to do for their One City, One Book campaign. It's kind of like a citywide book club.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Roach had a book just chosen by in San Francisco. Neil Gaiman's amazing book, Neverwhere, was just chosen in Chicago. Lisa C. had a book just chosen up in Oregon. So the city of Burbank chose my book for their Burbank Read, their One City, One Book title.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. So we're in the process of putting together a month of special events centered on gratitude that will launch on September 21st, World Gratitude Day, and conclude on October 22nd, Make a Difference Day. And we're going to do a number of the celebrities from the book. We'll be coming out to do special talks and on-stage conversations with me. Some of them will be doing we're putting together a big fundraising musical concert with some of the artists from the book and from the community. And we're also, the thing that I think is going to be really cool, between here and September 21st, we're going to be soliciting gratitude lists from all of the residents and employees in the city of Burbank. And we're going to set a world record for the world's largest gratitude list.
Wow, and I think I still owe you my gratitude list from when the book was published last year. I need to come up with my list and give it to you. I'll pretend I'm a Burbank resident. You can throw it in there.
I would love all your listeners to submit their gratitude list, because at the book's website, that's exactly what you'll find. You'll find information about the book. The coolest part of the website is you can read the gratitude list of the person across the street or in Alaska or in Bolivia. I've got hundreds of gratitude lists on the website, and they're every bit as cool and interesting and amazing as what B.B. King had to say, for example.
So the website is thegratitudelist.org?
Yeah, that's right. Thegratitudelist.org.
Yeah, so everybody, if you're listening, however many people, let's check. Let's do a check of how many people we have listening right now.
Mom, are you there?
I know, really. Let's see. A while ago, I had as many as I have eight people supposedly listening. So
fantastic.
Say hi to them. I know. I'm telling everybody to call in, but I guess they can't call in if I'm talking to you because I'm hogging the phone. So, okay. So before we go, I'm going to let you plug your studio with your beautiful wife, Jennifer Kelly.
Thank you.
I mean, it was interesting because I remember when I first met her, first went to the studio, she was talking about, there was an article posted on the bulletin board about how both of you had met and how you got married and just... how you proposed? Was that the big story in the paper?
Yeah, that was the big story in the paper.
Okay, quickly, go over the quick story.
We have a lot of kids between us, and we were able to steal, 3 days and 2 nights away to bump over to Hawaii really quickly. We'd been together, and we talked about getting married, but I wanted to surprise her with a proposal. So I had contacted the airline ahead of time and worked out kind of a special arrangement with them, so... Somewhere over the Pacific between Los Angeles and Hawaii, a flight attendant walked down the aisle playing Crazy Love by Van Morrison on the ukulele, which was kind of our special song. I got down on one knee, and I asked her to marry me. And there was that round of applause and everybody standing up and oohing and aahing and all that good stuff. What was really interesting, of course, she said yes, which was,
was a good thing.
The desired result.
That's right.
The flight attendants brought us chocolate and champagne. It was amazing. And about a half an hour later, a flight attendant came back with a business card and said, "This minister is sitting in first class, and he'd be happy to marry you right now if you'd like." So within 45 minutes, 35,000 feet in the air, somewhere over the Pacific Ocean, we were engaged and married.
And still married to this day.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Another thing to be grateful for.
Absolutely.
But your yoga studio again is the Yogi Tree in Toluca Lake. Okay, well, great. And now all of a sudden I'm distracted. Well, thanks, Todd, for calling in. And thanks hopefully people will send in their gratitude lists and you'll get many, many more. And, Burbank will make the Guinness Book of Records for the longest gratitude list, although I don't even know if there is a record right now for any gratitude list. It'd be good to know that you are the longest, the most, the biggest. Well, thank you too. Thanks, Todd. Okay. It's time to play a little bit of music. Yeah, I do have my mic on. Last night I was at a screening of The Heart of Transformation. It was a movie about Anusara Yoga, about John Friend and his movement to bring... It's just an incredible style of yoga that I've been doing for a few years now. And it was a class with Nomaz, a kirtan with Dave Stringer. And it was at that kirtan that I said, "Dave, can I play your music?" And he says, "Sure." So I've picked one because it's in his Divas and Devas album.
and he's singing with Donna DeLore, who, by the way, will be in concert this weekend. Let me see, what do my notes say here? Saturday at 7 p.m. at Kula. It's a place in Santa Monica. I post it on my Facebook page if you want any information. My Facebook page is The Accidental Yogist. So anyway, I am going to play that right now. It is, if I can remember what the name of the song was, Gung Hata, or something like that. Let me see if I can find it. There it is.
Thank you. casa se mata dorme
jaga juga tase
another in-studio guest. Felicia finally made it from wherever she was at.
The LA Yoga office in Santa Monica. And while Dave Stringer was playing, Daniel and I were just talking about gratitude for participation in the community, gratitude for sitting in the fire, and gratitude, I know,
sitting
I feel...
Sitting in the fire, that seems pretty warm.
Well, you know, the tapasya, the work that we all do in our practice, and I know that I'm extremely grateful for my practice, which is one of the things that helps me in all of the things that have to happen in life, and I know that that's something we're going to be talking about coming up with our next guest, huh?
Yeah, but before we go to our next guest... There was one thing. Yesterday, I was at Cafe Gratitude, speaking of gratitude, and I said, okay, to tie in the whole gratitude with food, because every episode I'm going to try to include food, because I'm grateful for food. So I was at Cafe Gratitude, and I said, okay, I need something to bring to the radio station so we can eat. Because remember last week, it was my daughter's birthday, and I said we should have birthday cake.
Yeah, well, and so
we were talking about cake. So this time I have what I picked up there was... I am delighted, chocolate fudge cookies with candied walnuts. It says it's sustainable, artisanal, gluten and dairy-free, no refined sugar. So we are going to be eating this while talking with our next... Kyoko Mitsumatsu is on the phone right now. She's on hold, and she's listening to us talking. She's probably thinking, like, yeah, I should be there.
Too.
She could be eating the chocolate with us. But anyway, she's from Yoga Gives Back. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to Kyoko, and I'm going to have Felicia open this up, and hopefully she won't eat it all. There are six of them, so that we get two each.
Okay, but I think one of the things that Kyoko is doing in terms of her work is really expressing that gratitude in a global way, which I'm really excited about. And I know at LA Yoga we've been trying to support that work.
Kyoko, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so Yoga Gives Back. Tell us the whole thing behind Yoga Gives Back. I mean, to me, it seemed like Yoga Gives Back is a whole gratitude, being thankful for what, India has given us. So I'm going to let you talk about Yoga Gives Back.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Johnny. And hi, Felicia and Daniel.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Yoga Gives Back, we started in 2007. I personally have been practicing yoga several years by then, and I just realized how kind of self-indulging it is to be able to practice yoga and become healthier and healthier and spiritually also feeling the fulfillment on a daily basis. And then you come home and watch news, and I'm a documentary filmmaker, so I'm aware of a lot of current affairs in the world or in the U.S. And I just started to feel like, you know, when you get so healthy physically and spiritually, what can you do with yourself? And I started talking to my teacher and around my people, and a lot of people share the same feeling. We all know that, you know, if you know a little bit about yoga, either asana practice or bhakti or kirtan or any form of yoga, it's something that it just really deepens your life. So we decided to express our gratitude for the benefit of yoga in our lives by giving back to India, where 75% of the population still lives under $2 a day. And majority of them are women and girls. So firstly, we approached Dr. Muhammad Yunus, who is a Nobel Peace Prize recipient, as you know. His revolutionary thinking, success of microfinancing really resonated in my mind that only $25, which is usually one class or two classes of yoga course, yoga classes, fee, that much money can change one woman's life entirely in India. So you don't have to be Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. You can be just yourself, but just donate your one class or two classes of fee, and you can contribute to the positive change in the lives of the impoverished women and children in India. So that's how we started. And today, thanks to all your support, we have now developed a direct funding program called Sister Aid, which we just started from 2010, last year. So we now directly fund 56 individuals, impoverished mothers, their children, orphans in West Bengal and Karnataka states in India. And we are trying to bring back the stories of these people, how the money is used, how our contribution is changing their lives. And my goal really is to make this project itself sustainable so that we can bring back what you're contributing to this campaign in a long-term impact.
Could you give an example? Because I know I've been to many of your fundraisers, and I've heard of examples of specific people and what situation they were in and how much money they needed and what they ended up doing with the money. And do you have any good examples, your favorite example?
Yeah, we have a lot of examples. For example, yeah, you have probably seen Jayashree, which is has been a poster child kind of person
in a lot of PR
materials. Yeah, she and her baby usually have been our PR cards. But anyways, she needed 7,000 rupees, which was about $25 first year. That's the amount she got as a loan from Grameen Foundation's affiliates in Bangalore area. Then she bought a auto rickshaw business for her husband, and that tripled their income. So she was able to return the whole money back to Microfinancing Institute in a year, and then she got triple amount of the loan next year. And now she's sending her eldest son to a medical school, which is unheard of in her family or in her, you know, village. And we were able to donate $600, which was her third. She took $600 almost from Microfinancing Institute, and she put all that money into her son's education. So we, as a community, Yoga Gives Back, we gave her that amount of money so that all the other income she makes from her work now can help her, you know, life. So her son can be securely at medical school this whole year, and we'll continue to support that.
Yeah, that's
just one example, but usually, like, I realize $500 to $600 a year can put the child or orphan in the school for a full year, or as this example shows, a woman can start a business around $500 to $600 a year. So, and I've seen, like, I visited West Bengal last year in the remote villages, and we are funding 22 mothers and 22 daughters in one village now. But that's all it takes, you know. Like, if we can provide $500 per mother or per daughter, their life for a year is totally secured. And our goal is not just end in a year, but continue to support them until they become very independent on their own, which will probably take average 5 to 6 years. And I love to continue to update with mini documentaries and photos and stories so that we get connected to this community as a yoga that community also.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's nice to know that the money you give, I mean, literally for the price, the cost of one class, you can make a difference in somebody's life, which is really great. Now, you have a fundraiser coming up this weekend, is it?
Did we lose her?
This phone
just go
has
dead?
Like a limited.
Hold on, no,
of time.
I think
the same thing on
the
last
sound
call.
Went down for some reason.
There is a fundraiser this weekend that Yoga Gives Back is hosting.
Just fill it in just because,
and you can see it on the Yoga Gives Back Facebook page. And it's from 1 to 3 this coming Sunday. And I believe it's at
Brazilian Yoga and Pilates.
Brazilian Yoga and Pilates in Atwater Village.
Yeah. What time is it, Kayako?
It's 1 to 3.
1 to 3 p.m. There'll be free food. There you go, free food.
Free food.
So we'll expect to see you there, Joni.
I know.
Since everywhere there's free food.
I know. Just say free food and I'm going to be there.
But remember that food is one of the things that we feel gratitude for.
As in our cafe gratitude chocolate fudge cookies. So Kayako, I'm just going to let you go because I think we lost the sound volume. The sound has gone really down. And I know we've been having technical problems with the equipment here. So,
but I think just to remember
thanks for calling, and I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye bye. Okay, thank you. Bye bye.
Just to remember that all of us who feel grateful for the practice of yoga, this is a nice opportunity to give back to the homeland, to the country of origin for this practice.
So let's see. You want to do a rundown of what's going on in town? I kind of have some things. Speaking of things going on, tonight there's a Bagot screening at the Art of Living Foundation that's by USC. Did you see that, Bagot?
I haven't seen it, but I know that it's an important film about looking at the ban on plastic bags and why we need to think about the bags that we use and the huge amount of plastic that ends up in the ocean right now.
Okay, that's tonight, Wednesday, 7 p.m., Art of Living Foundation. I also have tonight, 9 p.m., Luminous at Zanzibar.
Oh, I've been to that before. That is a fun night of some great music.
So that's tonight. And there's a free download, by the way. I know I saw it on Facebook. I think I may have gotten an email about it. I think LA Yoga posted a link.
We did post a link to it. So the Luminaries have a free download track on their website right now, and they're the ones who host the Luminous Night at Zanzibar tonight, 9 o'clock.
And just as good as free food is free music. So free downloads are good. I should promote. Okay, this is Bike Week. And I have to say that there is a fundraiser at Maha Yoga this Friday. That's May 20th at 7:30 p.m. It's a yoga for cyclists and non-cyclists class taught by Stephanie Phelan. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Phelan.
And it's at Maha, and it's by donation. And all the proceeds go to the L.A. County Bicycle Coalition, of which I am a part of. So I am pushing that. All of you, go. If you ride a bike, you don't ride a bike. Just know it's yoga by donation. By donation, again, is something that is very good here in L.A.
But remember to donate, because that is our way of showing gratitude for the teacher and the teachings of the class that we go to.
And not only that, though, she is turning, I believe, everything over to LACBC, which is even more reason why we need to be there and support her, because she's being out there to give of herself and her time for a cause that she believes in. So we are totally grateful for her. Saturday, we have a few concerts. We have Larissa Stowe in Pasadena Saturday at 4 p.m. It's a private address, and you supposedly have to go and email her to get the address. Best thing to do is go on Facebook and find the link for that. I think I posted it on the Accidental Yogist page. Donna DeLore, like I said earlier, Saturday, 7 p.m. at Kula in Santa Monica. And Mirabai Seba Saturday, 7:30 p.m. at the church in Ocean Park. Do we have anything else? Oh, Sunday. You should talk about this. 8 p.m., Vanishing of the Bees.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited about that. So Sunday at 8 p.m., or I think it's at 7:30, actually, is when it starts. Yeah, 7:30 okay. is when it starts. There's a screening of the film, or a screening in the L.A. premiere of the film Vanishing of the Bees. And this is an interesting and important film because most of the food crops that we eat, talk about being feeling gratitude for food, are pollinated by bees. And it's been in the news over the past couple of years that there have been huge colonies of bees that have died or disappeared. And this film, Vanishing of the Bees, investigates what's going on with the bees and what we can do about it. And the filmmakers have filmed in farms, talk to beekeepers. It's a really beautifully done film. Ellen Page narrates it. She'll be at the premiere on Sunday, and she really believes in the cause. And I'm going to be moderating the Q&A after the film. So check out the Vanishing of the Bees page on Facebook or on the web.
It's at the Barnstall Gallery Theater. That's in Hollywood, correct?
Yeah, it's in Hollywood.
Okay, so anyway, we're running low on time here. I just realized we've been yapping too much. So, Daniel, any last things you want to say?
Felicia, a second ago, we were talking about all the good stuff happens when the mics are off, by the way. we were talking about being in the fire and having gratitude for the fire. The thing about when you're in the fire, you always, like, a year later, you're like, man, wasn't that great? Wasn't that so great? But maybe sometimes, it'd be cool if we could be, like, I'm in the fire and it's great now. You know, maybe it'd be a cool switch. I was just thinking about that.
What's that saying? Whatever doesn't hurt you or break you makes you stronger? Something to that effect?
Something like that. And then I saw a quote recently, and I wish I could remember it instead of badly paraphrasing it. I'm going to do now, but being something about being in the fire then helps you to shine. So,
or if you watch Conan the Barbarian, they use the fire to make the steel more strong and sharp.
Absolutely.
So we're like firing ourselves like swords to be used in the
in saving the world.
Yeah.
So anyway, speaking of being in the fire, I'm looking at the clock and I think we're almost 5 minutes over, but it doesn't matter because nobody's right after me, so I'm just going to go and thank Daniel for being out here.
Thank you for having me, Joni.
And sharing his music and his stories, and Felicia for coming all the way out here and persisting, even if she knew she was getting here late. And so I'm going to end the show with music from Tina Malia, who was in concert here, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago? I have no perception of time. I've just totally lost it. But this is a cut from her album, The Silent Awakening, and it's called All Roads. So until next week, this is Yoga Chat with the Accidental Yogist.
Coming back. This is the sound of one heart starting to hear. This is the sound of faith stepping out of fear. Oh, the journey of one soul's passage through time. And oh, this is one learning to fly. This is the sound of love reaching out from the storm, calling through. I can feel